Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, September the 23rd, 1984. God bless as we worship together on this beautiful Lord's Day. We love you. We're going to sing a song today for Brother Arthur Combs, even though he's not here. He'll be able to hear it by means of tape. And so let's stand and sing happy birthday to Brother Arthur Combs. Time our choir is going to sing a number that says Hallelujah for the Cross. Today we're going to be preaching on the preaching of the cross, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 and other verses in the Bible. We should be praying for our choir as they sing Hallelujah for the Cross. Thank God today for the old rugged cross on which Jesus gave his life.
It's right in the hell.
certainly was on that cross where Jesus paid our ransom for our sins. Today we'd like to turn to responsive reading 36 in the back of the hymnal, and we'd like for you to participate with us in this. Selection 36 in the back of the hymnal, entitled The Cross of Christ, taken from Isaiah, Romans, 2 Corinthians, 1 Peter, and 1 Corinthians. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. The Lord today for the reading of this scripture. Before we have a word of prayer, we'd like to mention these people who need our prayers this week. Let's be praying for Dave Hall. This is Kathleen's dad over in the nursing home. Let's be praying for him this week. Also, Wardy Honchels and his wife's child, who is in the UK Medical Center. When it was born, it weighed only 4 pounds, I believe. And right now, it had pneumonia when it was over here at the Hazard ARH, and they transported it to Lexington. Let's continue to be praying for them. And also, Coy Boggs. This is Sandy's, and Tom Boggs' dad had surgery this past week. And let's be praying for him. Also, let's look up for Ms. Lane. Ms. Lane is home after having broken her ankle. And if you can, give her a ring on the telephone or go by and see her today. Ms. Lane. Brother Zimmerman and his wife are in Lexington today. Arnold Combs, Goldie's brother, is in the hospital real bad. And so that's where they are this morning. I'll have to be praying for them. Also, Cliffy Frost and Ms. Blair and Brother Mitchell Fraley, Anna Campbell, Jeanette Barker, and also Ms. Maud Barker, Brother Combs' wife in the nursing home, John and Lucy Talby. Let's continue to pray for them. Ms. White's mom and dad, my mother, and also Carl Kelly, Brother Lafer Giles. Brother Lafer never gives up. You know what he was doing Friday morning at the Big Creek Baptist Church? He was helping people to park, and him blind, physically blind. Brother Lafer is an inspiration. He's the fellow that came down the aisle and led us in prayer during our homecoming afternoon services. Let's be praying for Brother Lafer. He's an inspiration to everyone who knows him. Also, Brother Flinch's mother. Can you pray for John Godsey, Sam Fugit, pastor at the Bible Baptist Church, Joanne Calhoun. Let's also need to pray for her. And Layuna Sutton. Also, Mary Abrams. I know these are quite a few people, and We don't want to leave out people who are lost. They certainly need our prayers. So let's look to the Lord today in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for loving us, even when we were unlovely. When we were yet sinners, we know that Christ died for us. And we are so thankful, Father, for this. Lord, we pray for each of these that we have mentioned. Lord, we know You're able to supply every need that each one of these has. Help them, Father, to look to Thee. And we know that still Your Word says that all things work together for good to those who love Thee, to those who are the called according to Your purpose. So, Father, we lift each one of these up to Thee in prayer this morning. We also pray for the lost all around us here in Airport Gardens. Father, we know You're able to help us to be the church that You want us to be the witness that we need to be out in the community, out in this world. We know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And help us, Lord, to love people because You sent Your Son to die for people through their belief in Him that they could be saved and put on their way to heaven. We commit this service, Lord, into Your hands again, and just pray You'd bless and work out Your will in every life. We thank Thee for all You're going to do already. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, for the last hymnal, let's turn to page 179 and stand and sing all three verses of The Way of the Cross Leads Home.
In prayer, please.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Lord's Day, and we thank You for each one here this morning, Lord. We just thank You for all Your many blessings to us. We just thank You for this church. We thank you for this pastor. We just thank you for the life that he is in our community. We just pray, dear God, for each one, for the offerings that are about to be given. We just pray, Lord, that they would be used as you would see fit, Lord.
Amen.
We just pray, dear God, for all those that were mentioned a few minutes ago that need prayer. We just pray especially for Wardy Household's child in Lexington, Lord.
Amen.
We just pray that you would touch that young life, Lord, and help it through, if it be thy blessed will. We just pray, dear God, that you would continue to be with each one of us throughout this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the many wonderful promises, standing on the promises. Tom and Fred are going to come to sing us a song before the message. Thank God for them as they come to sing for us. Thank you. us today that your heart has been opened already to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:20 says it like this: Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. 1 Corinthians 1:18, we'd like to read again. It says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In that one verse, we have the two kinds of people in this world, those who are perishing and those who are saved. What does the preaching of the cross mean to you today? In John 19:17 it says that Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, Golgotha. Jesus was willing to bear his cross. And I tell you, and I need to be willing to bear the cross that God has given to us. I know today we appreciate the cross of Jesus and how he ransomed us from the fall, the sin in the Garden of Eden, and sin. The Bible says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I know we appreciate today the cross of Jesus. Jesus, it says, sat down on the right hand of God after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. He sat down. Not only does the Bible tell us a lot about the cross on which Jesus died, but the Bible also tells us that we need to bear the cross that Jesus has given to us. Brother Glenn Noe mentioned a fellow who said this: There is no Christianity without a cross. There is no Christianity without a cross. So many times, I guess, we preach an easy believism. But you know, there's a cross to bear before we wear a crown. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:13, one of our key verses for today, For Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And who hung on a tree? Jesus did. He gave his life a ransom for many. But you know, Jesus said while he was here in Luke 9:23-24, these are two other key verses for today. Luke 9:23-24, it says, The Bible says, He said unto them all, If any man will come after me, and if we come after the Lord, he has to be in front, right? If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Did you know today it's in losing ourselves that we really find ourselves? That's what Jesus said. It is in losing ourselves in service for him that we save ourselves. What does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to me? Jesus there dying the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Christ. There was a man one time under deep conviction. He had been to a revival service. And before he retired for the night, he thought about taking a dip in the pool. And so he went to the swimming pool. And standing there on the diving board, he started to dive in. When Timmy built this pool out here, I thought of this illustration I'd read years ago. This fellow stood there on the diving board, And the full moon cast his shadow on the bathhouse in front of him, the shadow of a cross. And that man, under deep conviction, kneeled down there on the diving board, there at that swimming pool, and gave his heart to the Lord. He decided not to go swimming after all, after Jesus came into his life. And as he usually had a habit of doing, as he walked by the pool, he would dip his foot in the pool, in the water. And he did this that night. But you know, as he did that, his foot did not touch any water. They had drained the pool that day, unbeknownst to him. That man was saved, not only spiritually there on that diving board, he was saved physically. Because had he dived in that pool, he would no doubt have been killed. My friend, the Lord today is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. Without the cross today, there can be no redemption for sin. Redemption from sin. Back in Romans chapter 5, two verses we read in our responsive reading. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, right on schedule, Christ died for us." And verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Without the cross today, there can be no redemption from sin, no remission. If you and I could be saved any other way, if you and I could have been saved by working our way to heaven, Jesus would not have gone through all that agony. There in the Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane, he would not have gone through all that agony there. As it tells us in Luke 22:44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Would Jesus have gone through that had there been any other way? In fact, he prayed, "Lord, he prayed, Father, if there is any other way, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Jesus knew this was the only way to bring God, his Father, and man back into fellowship. We're reconciled to God, the Bible tells us. We're reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's another verse over there in Romans 5. Romans 5 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. We're reconciled by the death of Jesus. He brought God and man back together again as we believe in what he did there on the cross for us. If I ask every one of you here individually, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? I believe every one of you would say yes. You believe that Jesus walked on this earth, wouldn't you? Jesus did walk on this earth. He died on the cross for each one of us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Do you know how the Israelites got out of Egypt? By blood. The blood of an innocent lamb that was to be taken up on the 10th day of the month and kept until the 14th day of the month. That animal, its life was taken. The blood of that animal was put on the outside of the doorpost and on the lintel. And the Bible tells us, when the death angel passed by, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I thank God today for the death of Jesus on the cross. Because if there had been no cross, there would have been no remission of sin. no redemption. But the Bible tells us also in Hebrews, for once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that's the way we're saved today, placing our faith in what Jesus did. Isaiah chapter 64, I believe it is, and verse 6 says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I can't do a thing to save myself. Jesus did it all. The songwriter said, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Today our lesson in Sunday school was the struggle. The struggle to do right. Jesus did not know one sin. And that's why he was, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The cross, what does it mean to you? The cross, what does it mean to me? The cross on which Jesus died. A visiting preacher one time was testing out the acoustics in a building he was going to be preaching in. He didn't know anyone was in the building, but there was a janitor in another room who did not see the preacher as he tested the building. He quoted from John 1:29, where John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And that janitor took that as a message from God. And it wasn't long until he was saved. Today I would ask you to behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The rich young ruler came to Jesus running, but Jesus asked too much. Jesus said to him, go sell what you have and give it away to the poor, and then come and take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went his way grieved because he had great possessions. If there had been no cross, no death for our sins, there could have been no redemption. Without the cross and death of Jesus, there could have been no resurrection. You know, every religion, and I, in a way, don't like to call Christianity a religion, but every other religion has a dead originator, or will have, if they don't already. Their originator is going to die. Jesus also died, but he arose again, victorious. Had there been no death of the Lamb of God, there could have been no resurrection. Tonight we're going to be starting the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians in our evening services on Sunday night. We've been in 1 Corinthians since January. And here it is, about the last of September. But I tell you, 1 Corinthians is a wonderful book. We had these verses here in the first chapter back in January or February. Thank God for the resurrection. That's what the 15th chapter is all about. What if Jesus were still in the grave? What if we still had a dead Savior? We have a living Savior. The songwriter said, he lives, he lives, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. The psalmist said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." This is talking about Jesus. Way back in the Old Testament. "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." You know, Peter got up at Pentecost and he quoted that same verse from Psalm 16 and verse 10. He preached about Jesus, his death, his resurrection. Romans 14:9 says it like this: "Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of the dead as well as the living." He both died and rose and revived. 1 Corinthians 15:20. We'll not get to this verse tonight in our evening service, but it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Without the cross and the death of Jesus, there could have been no resurrection. You know what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18? "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Jesus is alive today. He's living. Without his purchasing of our sins as he gave his life there on the cross, without his triumph over the grave, there could be no eternal home for the children of God. If this life was all there was to it, you know what? Serving Jesus would be worth it. I believe that with all my heart. If we did not have a wonderful home called heaven to go to someday, serving the Lord would be worth it. Someday we're going to sit down in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to be there with our bridegroom. I went to a wedding yesterday afternoon. My brother's boy got married. There were two people there. For a wedding to take place, there must be a bride and a groom, right? And someday there's going to be a wedding in heaven. A wedding. The marriage of the Lamb. One of the verses we had in our Sunday school lesson today said that we need to be married to another, even him who arose from the dead. It's Jesus. And we're married to him today. We're really going to be married at the marriage supper of the Lamb, where Jesus will gird himself and serve us. It says here, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." This is not all of it. It's certainly not all of it. And I would encourage you this morning to trust Jesus while there's still time. Time is slipping away. It seemed like last week almost that September began. And here it's almost the end of September. My friend, time is leaving us. There's an antifreeze that's sold during the wintertime that says, guaranteed not to run out on you. My friend, time is going to run out. Time is going to run out on me. It's going to run out on you. And someday we're going to be somewhere else.